Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 997. We're getting closer to that 1,000 mark. So today's topic is nutrition, and the title is, What's Next? So I often get asked some variation of the question, or the statement is, I've followed your advice and have been tracking my calories and protein. I've been eating 4 to 5 meals a day and have seen results. But the results have slowed down. What's the next step to produce more results, to continue to make progress? So we're going to talk about that today. And it's awesome. People are interacting and sending in emails. I genuinely appreciate the emails. It's fun to hear back from listeners. And it's great to get kind of direction on what podcast topics you all find the most helpful. So thank you. So basically, the initial steps that I will have people do is to listen to podcast number 41. If you can't find any of the podcasts I'm about to name, you can just do a Google search. So Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, and this one, for example, would be podcast 41, Diet Right, What Matters Most. So Brutal Iron Gym Podcast 41, Diet Right, What Matters Most. I'll probably be able to find that on Google. If you can't, just email me at brutalirongym@gmail.com, and I'll send you the direct link. But podcast 41, what it does is it explains what matters most in a diet. What's the most impactful, where you should put your effort and energy, where you should put your focus. And that is on calories. Calories determine the direction of your diet, whereas everything else kind of determines kind of the quality of the diet and how you feel during the diet. So if you eat perfect, amazing, wonderful foods, but you overeat your caloric needs, you will gain weight. Likewise, if you eat absolute crap food, but you eat under your caloric needs, you will lose weight. Now, if you eat too far under, you won't lose any weight, and there actually is a negative to eating too few of calories when trying to lose fat. But in general, calories are most important because they kind of determine the direction. So one of the ways I explained it recently was, if I'm going to drive cross country, it would be nice to have like a luxury car. But if I'm going in the wrong direction, how nice the car is doesn't really matter. I'm going the wrong direction. So you want to make sure your calories are accounted for so that we're going in the right direction. And then everything else matters to kind of make sure that the journey is the best quality you can get and it's the best experience, that we have kind of the best feeling during the diet. So the first podcast we listened to after podcast 41 is podcast 153. Titled, How Many Calories Do I Need? So if calories are most important, you got to find out how many you need. That's podcast 153. Then podcast 33 covers the second most important topic, which is how much protein do you have in your diet? So protein, it helps kind of build and repair muscle tissue. It does a lot of other things like growing our hair or skin or nails and a lot of other things. If we under-eat protein, we under-recover just from general stress of the day, and if you're exercising, you're going to under-recover from your exercise, and you won't have your optimal body composition. You won't look the best, you won't feel the best, so your body weight might be changing in the direction you want it to, but it's not going to be good quality. You're going to lose a lot of muscle if you're dieting, as you're losing fat, or if you're trying to gain weight, but you're under your protein needs, you're going to gain a lot of fat and not a lot of muscle. So it's really important to make sure you have enough protein so that way the quality of your weight change is exactly what you want it to be, the best it can be. The next podcast will be podcast number 249, titled Meal Timing. And that talks about the like kind of the frequency of your meals, how many you should have per day, how far apart they should be. And it also talks about in your calories, should you have your calories, you know, eat more when you're more active, eat less when you're less active. The answer to that is true. So it kind of tells you how to spread apart your calories. We do not want to think of calories only as every 24 hours I have to eat X amount. It's when you eat your calories that matters as much as how many calories you have. So if I'm eating all my calories at the end of the day, I might still be able to control my weight in the proper kind of direction I want, but I'm going to have a lot more fat and a lot less muscle because it's just not timed properly to how the body needs calories. The body utilizes and needs calories all day, continuously all day. So if you only eat for one section of the day or a couple hours of the day, you are not properly fueling your body and you will not look the best you can. So those are the first four podcasts. Those are typically the ones that when I get the question of, I've been following your advice, I've been doing da-da-da-da-da, what's next? Those are the ones that people will have listened to, and they've implemented, and they're doing really well. So, what is next is tracking three things. I want to give you three things, but I have to be under the assumption that of the first things, that you're doing at least 80% adherence. So if you're tracking your calories, your protein, and you're paying attention to your meal timing, you need to be about 80% adherent to those concepts for the next steps to work. If you're not 80% adherent, the next things I tell you will not make a difference. You have to be 80% adherent to the things that are most important to build a solid base for your nutrition that you can then add more details on top of, but then still see the actual results of those details. You have to have that solid base built first. So what is 80% adherence? Well, if you have, for example, 5 meals a day, where you have a breakfast, a lunch, and a dinner, maybe a mid-morning kind of snack, a mid-afternoon snack, so 5 meals a day, that would equate to 35 meals a week. 80% adherence would be getting 28 out of 35 meals right. So maybe you missed a meal or two, maybe you underate at a meal or two, maybe you overate at a meal or two, but you got 28 meals out of 35 meals correct. That would be 80% adherent. If you do not have the basic components 80% adherent, then you will not get the results you want from what I'm about to say. So the rest of today's podcast will not work if you don't have 80% adherence. So if you try this stuff and you say, well, it didn't work, but you don't have 80% adherence, that's on you, okay? So you can track your daily efforts. We use with clients, I use a Google Sheets document, which looks like Microsoft Excel, but it's made by Google, so therefore they call it something else. It's a live document, meaning my clients can put edit to it. I can look at it at the same time and edit it as well. So we try to work together, and we'll track their meals. Like if they have 5 meals that day, we'll track all 5 meals. They'll write yes or no. If it's a no, as in they didn't get the meal right, they write whether they underate, whether they missed the meal, whether they overate, maybe what happened. We talk about what happened and maybe they can how they can work against that the next time it comes up. So, you know, maybe they're flustered and busy and they missed the meal. We can say, okay, well, if you were in your car, why can't you throw a package of cashews in your car and that gives you something to eat? Even in when you're in a pinch. So we kind of problem solve, and that's one of the great just benefits of having access to me is we can problem solve and really help to address issues and make sure that they don't keep coming back up. So a lot of the clients, that's basically the biggest benefit of being able to work with me, is to identify things that happen in their life, how they can work against them to not let them hold them back. So if you have a repeated excuse, well, you know, I'm always so busy at work. Well, that's not going to go away. So if you're letting the busyness of work hold you back from reaching your goals, and then you're not doing anything about that, you will never reach your goals. Work doesn't automatically become easier. It's not like your boss is just going to take away half your workload. That's stupid. So what are you waiting for? If you know you're too busy at work, find a way to work around that. So I have clients that shove protein bars in their pockets, people that put, you know, protein drinks in the bathroom. So I have a couple people who own their business or they work in a way in which it would be okay if they were to put like protein shakes in like the employee bathroom. So anytime they have to go in there to pee, they just shake the shake up and they drink it. And it's like, hey, what do you want? Do you want your results or not? There was a professional bodybuilder who I used to watch on RX Muscles in the Iron Asylum. They had videos of kind of bodybuilders and their training, and it talked about, like, through interviews, the struggles they had. I think his name was John Della Rosa, and he was an elevator technician. And he said at work he would take food with him, and as he's working on the elevator, he would stop, set a timer for 5 minutes and eat a bunch of food, shove a bunch of cold, like chicken and rice in his face. At 5 minute mark, he'd close the container, throw it back in his backpack, and he'd move on. And he said, you know what, if I ever got fired from work just for taking 5 minutes, then so be it. Now, we all, you know, we can't afford to be fired, I understand that. But at the same time, is he took 5 minutes 3, 4, 5 times a day. He snuck that in, and it allowed him to become a professional bodybuilder. He reached his goals. Now he doesn't have to work. He makes money off sponsorships and just gets to lift weights every day. So he found a way to find five or 10 minutes, and it let him reach his goal. I have other clients where I got one client, he had to load and unload trucks. So he shoved food in his jacket pockets and pants pockets, And on one of his trips, he would usually have to carry stuff out of the truck, but then he'd go back into the truck empty-handed. So he would grab a couple hands full of things, take a bite or two, then he'd carry stuff back out of the truck. As he's walking back in the truck, he'd take a couple bites, take a handful or two, and he would just nibble all day, trying to get his calories in. He was able to get on stage, do really freaking well for an aesthetic competition, and he was over 50 years old. He was a badass, amazing guy. He never let any excuses hold him back. So if you are identifying a repeated thing that is in your way, but you're not doing anything to address that, that's on you. You've got to find a way to work around it if it isn't going to work around you. Does that make sense? So we need to have 80% adherence to the basic things. Once you have that, the next steps are what's going to kind of take you to that next level. We have three things for what's next. The first thing I want to cover is degree of variance. So when I say you're following your goals 80% adherent, that was kind of with the assumption that you're defining how close to calories are you getting. So if your goal is, say, 2,000 calories a day, are you counting, you know, 1950 as good? Are you counting 1875 as close enough? If your goal is 2,000 calories and you eat 2150, are you saying that that's close enough? Like, what is your variance of saying that you did the right thing? For most people, their struggle is going to be consistency. So they might have a day where you have 2,000 calories because it's a workout day, but maybe another day they're not working out, so they only eat 1,600. We're going to talk about caloric cycling here in a second. But all of a sudden they eat 1,800 one day on a non-training day. And they're like, well, it's still within the range. You know, normally I'd have 1,600 or 2,000, so 1,800 is still good. Well, how are you defining the degree of variance? What I'd like you to do is your next step would be to narrow that degree of variance. When I work with people for competitions, we try to keep things within plus or minus 5%. So if my goal is 2,000 calories, my range would be 1,900 to 2,100. If I'm within that, we count it as a good day. So you have to think of yourself as if, okay, if my goal is 1,600 calories, 5% of that is 80. So I'm allowed 1,520 to 1,680. So you have to find 5% plus or minus. That is going to be your window now of your appropriate degree of variance. If you're within plus or minus 5%, you had a good day. If you're outside of that, it is not a good day. Likewise, your goal of protein. If your goal is 150 grams of protein, 7 grams is 5%. So you're allowed 143 to 157 grams of protein, and you can count that as a good day. So your goals for calories and protein must be within plus or minus 5%. Now, if you currently don't even get close to 5%, don't worry about it. As you work closer to it, you will see improvements. So if right now you're kind of all over the place, see if you can get yourself to plus or minus 10%. So if your goal is 2,000 calories, that means you're allowed 200 calories below or 200 calories above. So that's 1,800 to 2,200, and that would be a good day for you. Once you can be consistent at 10% for a week or two, then you want to try to be at least 80% consistent, by the way. As long as you can be 80% consistent for a week or two, at 10% variance, then you can move to, say, 7.5% variance. Once you can do 80% adherent for a week or two, you can then move to 5% adherent variance. So that is what you want to work to, is plus or minus 5%. For most people, that's going to keep you busy enough, because life is crazy and it's hard to kind of work your way through the muddle and mess of it. Can it be done? Hell yes. I've helped, like, literally, oh geez, I've had 25,000 clients. I mean, 2,500 clients over the years. I know all their names and everything. And, you know, we've been able to do that for, oh gosh, most of them. So some of the people, their goal was just to get, like, you know, better blood health. Some of my competition clients, we've been able to do it for every single one of them. So I've helped people get pro cards in aesthetics, elite totals, you know, national and state records and powerlifting. I've helped professional athletes, Olympic athletes, all of them, whenever this is super important to them, we've been able to get to 5% variance no matter what. So it can be done. But that is going to be your first step of what's next. The second step is going to be to add the concept of caloric cycling. What this allows you to do is to better match your caloric intake to your energy usage. So if you're being consistent right now with a general number every day, that will eventually plateau because some days you're overeating, some days you're undereating compared to your goal. So how we can become more accurate is to add the concept of caloric cycling. So I'm going to give you numbers to adjust, but you have to track your weight change based on these adjustments and then adjust from there. So the numbers I'm about to give you, I want you to adjust what you're doing based on these numbers. But you still have to track your body weight. You have to track your kind of progress in training. We'll talk about that in a second. And then you may have to adjust after a week or two if you see, you know, kind of maybe you're starting to lose some weight if that's your goal and you're seeing some of it, but maybe you can adjust and lose more. Maybe your goal is to gain weight and you're seeing some of it, but you can adjust and move more. So this is kind of just a place to help you get started with caloric cycling, but then you still have to adjust. So from your caloric average, if you're currently eating the same amount of calories every day, if your goal is body recomposition, where you're not really, like, you want to lose some fat, you want to build some muscle, but you like the way you weigh, like the weight you are. So meaning you don't want to lose weight, you don't want to gain weight, you just kind of want to stay where you're at, you just want to look better there. On training days, I want you to eat 5% more than your current goal. On non-training days, I want you to eat 5% less than your current calorie goal. So if your current calorie goal is 2,000, then on training days, you're going to eat 2,100 as your goal. On non-training days, you're going to eat 1,900 as your goal. So you can see we're having a little bit of a variance there, just a small variance. Now, can people use kind of 5 to 10% as a goal? Yes. So if 5% seems like too small of a change for you, then you can do a 10% change. So you can do 10% more on training days and 10% less on non-training days. The hard part is going to be, well, there's actually challenges to both. It's harder to eat more when you're not used to it. But it's harder to eat less and deal with the cravings as well. So there's challenges. So I would say start first with 5% change, you know, additional 5% on training days, subtracting 5% on non-training days. See how you do with that. If you want to push it to 10% to get bigger results, go ahead and do so. For fat loss, if your goal is fat loss, on training days, you still want to add more calories because you're more active. So you want to eat 5% more than your current normal caloric intake. But on non-training days, you're going to eat 10% less. So if you notice, the balance is not even. We're only eating 5% more on training days, we're eating 10% less on non-training days. That's going to help you get a caloric reduction, that's going to help you lose fat. That's your goal. Likewise, the converse of that is true for muscle gain, if somebody wants to gain weight. You're going to eat 10% extra on training days, but only 5% less on non-training days. What that does, it ensures you have enough calories on your training days to do well and grow well and have great performance. But then we're going to eat a little bit less, that 5% less on non-training days. But it's not so little that it's going to impair muscle gain, but it's going to help you make sure you don't gain too much fat. So creating caloric cycling, along with improving your degree of variation, your degree of variance, is going to be two big steps on what's next. The third thing you want to do is to balance muscle damage and volume in training. If you currently do mostly kind of standing still, static resistance training, I do this exercise for 1, 2, 3 working sets, I move to the next exercise for 1, 2, 3 working sets, I move to the next exercise, meaning you're not doing a lot of circuits, a lot of supersets, you're not really doing any kind of cardio-based activities, it's mostly just standing still, heavy things, then you want to add more medium intensity sets. So if you typically do 2 or 3 warm-ups before your first working set, then try to do an extra kind of warm-up or two, or try to do an extra working set. Try to just add a little bit of medium intensity volume to just burn more calories and be more active. Then you can add additional body weight workouts on your quote-unquote non-training days. So I would recommend you work your way up to being active on 5 to 6 days a week. If you're only going 3 days to the gym, that's okay. You can do 2 or 3 kind of bodyweight workouts at home. And they only have to be maybe 10, 20 minutes. You can just find some bodyweight workouts on YouTube with no equipment. You can just do, you know, bodyweight squats, push-ups, burpees, planks, you know, variations of bodyweight things. Just set a timer and rotate through them. But you want to try to be active 5 to 6 days a week. If you currently do mostly lightweighted stuff, like a lot of circuits, a lot of cardio-based things, then you absolutely need to add in resistance training. You need to do heavy training. So if you listen to yesterday's podcast, podcast 996, we talk about a lady who's wanting to build muscle, and right now she's doing a lot of cardio classes. She even has one day where she runs 5 miles a day, and that is absolutely counter to her goals. That will not help her build muscle. That's actually competing against calories that she's already insufficient in eating. So if you're doing a lot of cardio, a lot of lightweight stuff, and you notice that you're kind of plateaued, you need to add in more heavy resistance training. You need to create muscle damage. You need to train more like a bodybuilder. Now, why is this true? If you want to build muscle, muscle can't grow unless it's damaged. You have to damage the tissue to get it to grow. And by being more active, adding in more volume, it helps you accumulate more stress to the muscle. But if you only do max effort top sets and you try adding more and more of those, you're going to piss off your joints. So you have to add more medium intensity stuff. Now, for fat loss, why am I telling you to lift weights? Damaged muscle tissue burns calories. Our body has a higher caloric need to repair that damaged tissue. So podcast 181, titled Using Muscle Damage for Fat Loss, explains how you can lift weights to actually lose fat. And it's more effective than cardio by itself. So you need to be lifting weights. You can't just do cardio and expect it to continue to lose fat. You're going to lose a lot of muscle along the way. Now, in your training, you absolutely need to track your performance. You need to force improvement in your performance every single week. I typically have clients do that for 4 weeks in a row, and then we switch movements. So for week one, they kind of practice the movements. They do the best they can, but they're kind of figuring out what they're doing. Week two, they feel a little more confident with it. They can kind of move up a rep or two. Maybe they can move up 5 pounds. Week three, they're like, okay, I got this. I know what I'm doing now. They start to push themselves a little bit. Maybe they can get an extra rep or two. They can go up 5 pounds. Week four is miserable because their body's starting to get really used to it. The body is kind of more peaked towards its best performance. So maybe they can add a rep or two. Maybe they can add 5 pounds. Sometimes the best they can do is just match week three. So then in week five, we switch. We go all new movements and restart a 4-week progression. This is going to help people continually learn new movements, continue to find new angles on the body, continue to force the body to progress and change. If you want the body to continue to change, then you must continue to change the stimulus that you're providing for change. If you improve what you do, the body will improve. If you keep doing the same thing, the body will look the same. So you must balance muscle damage and volume, and you must track your performance and force progressions. So this is the next steps. These are what people need to do, is to narrow their degree of variance, add in caloric cycling, and then just create better training. Have a good balance between muscle damage and volume. Force progressions. Do not become stagnant doing the same thing every single week. If you do the same, the body will look the same. That makes sense. So most people, they stall out in results because they're not as consistent as they believe they are. If I had to take a guess on 100 people, I would say that if I only had to give one piece of advice, it would be to track your adherence. You are not doing as well as you think you are. Now, not to be Debbie Downer, but that is just the truth of life. You'll have given yourself an excuse for why you missed this meal, an excuse for why you overate, an excuse for why you underate. If you were to track your meals, if you were supposed to have, say, 5 meals a day and you track 35 meals a week, most people will find that they'll struggle to get 25 out of 35 meals right. But 25 out of 35 meals right is not enough to move forward. You need to push more towards that 28 out of 35. And that's me even being generous. Meaning that, like, if you got to 30 out of 35, then I guarantee you can start making progress. So you need to work on that first. That's where everyone messes up. That's why most people, when I ask them to track things, they don't want to track it because they don't want to see the truth. They'd rather hide in their bubble, wonder why they're not making any progress. Woe is me. Diets don't work for me. I can never build muscle. Bullshit, whine, complain, blame. Do the work. If you say you want it, do the work that shows that you want it. Track what you do. If there's something that's in the way, find a frickin' way around it. Email me if you need to, brutalenergym@gmail.com, I'll help you. Look up books, talk to other people. There's the only thing that's going to hold you back is what you accept and allow to hold you back. Now, you're going to tell me, that's bullshit, you don't know my life, blah, 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 blah. Again, complaining, whining, bitching. People have overcome what is in your way, I promise you. I've seen people with every single condition you can think of still become successful. So you are not special. You are not the only person in the world that has to deal with what you have to deal with. I'm saying that as a way to encourage you and say that somebody has found a way around it. Reach out. Whether it's to me or to them, buy a book, find the answer. Someone has done it. Find out what they did and do it for yourself. Now, a second thing that people typically don't do is they don't progress in their training and nutrition. They're not continuing to adjust what they do. They kind of find a training routine, they stick with it, and then they wonder why their body stalls out. They find, you know, calorie goals, they find nutrition structure, and they just stick with it, and they wonder why it just stalls out. If your body's continuing to lose weight, then its caloric need reduces. Therefore, you have to continue to reduce your calories or increase your activity, and I would actually recommend you do that. Create more muscle damage. Be more active so you can continue to eat more. You want to build your body. Build a healthy body, not starve it to death. So you must continue to push the progressions in your training and nutrition. Okay. So give these tips a try. I promise, promise, promise they will help if you have 80% adherence on the base information. Cool. Well, if you need anything towards this, just email me, brutalirongym@gmail.com, and I promise I'll help you out. Just tell me what you're struggling with, and I'll help you. If you like today's podcast, please click like. But more importantly, if you think it's helpful, please share it. Please share the podcast with as many people as you can, so that way we can help as many people as we can. Then if you like the information we present in our podcast, you can check out more from us on our Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube channels under the name Brutal Iron Gym. Then, as always, if you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, send us an email. I'm always here and I'm always happy to help. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.